Hi there, and welcome to this episode of the Everyday Millionaire Mindset Matters podcast, where I'm joined by my wife, Olympic mental performance coach, Stephanie Hanlon-Francy. In these episodes, Stephanie and I have a conversation about the different aspects of what we refer to as Mindset Matters, because we believe that for those who are awake, we are living in and through the most impactful time in history. Your view of the world is the filter for how you will experience the evolution and changing dynamics of it. Our intention is to provide you with ideas, nutritious food for thought, and some tools that you can use to help you in being your greatest self and living your best life. Listen in. Enjoy. Hey, we're live.
This is so exciting.
Okay, our first live, but we don't know if anybody will show up.
Doesn't really matter, hon.
Doesn't really matter. We are going to do our Mindset Matters podcast one way or the other, and welcome to the Everyday Millionaire Mindset Matters podcast. Stephanie, good to have you here.
Hey, hon.
How's your week been? I know how my week has been. You've been at home, so it's been great.
Yeah, it has been great and really calm. Actually, it's been a little bit hyper. We do have some adopted cows and some adopted horses on the property, and the dogs are getting used to that, and comings and goings of people and family and chosen family, and it's been really nice.
It's been a pretty active week around here in that regard, because again, we got a couple horses that came on the property, and then by the time they get settled in, and then the same day, couple of cows show up, and then you don't know if the horses and the cows are going to get along. And yeah, so it's been an interesting time, but definitely fun. And kind of going back to some of my roots in terms of what I love to do. And both the horses are a bit of a project, but one of them is definitely a project. Shadow, he's the one that, he's not young, he's 14, but that's relatively young for a horse, but he's only green broke. So it'll be fun to, you know, kind of finish him, get him totally under saddle, get him kind of grounded and let him know that he's actually not the boss, even though he wants to be the boss. Okay, so if you're a horse person, you understand some of that conversation. And if you're not, you're going, can we just move on from this topic?
I just love seeing you. Well, I guess it's part of the topic. I love seeing you so in your power and doing what you love to do. That's also part of living your values, right? Which is kind of encompasses our Mindset Matters, especially this particular year, 2024, with clarity equaling velocity, is that we need to be true to our values and in alignment with what we want. And all of a sudden, boom, these two beautiful horses show up. And at the same time, because you're so kind, you actually are helping out a friend.
We are. And that's fun. It's a win-win-win. It's a win for our friends. It's a win for me and us, or you and I. And it's a win for the horses, because they really needed to get into a bigger property and get some green grass and get some training. You know, definitely. That's all part of also keeping them safe and grounded. So, you know, as we kick off this particular podcast, you know, there's another part of what I really love about having the horses show up as we've been marketing and, you know, reaching out to let people know we're doing our think tank June 7, 8, and 9 in Clarity Equals Velocity. The powerful thing about Clarity Equals Velocity in communication, especially with horses, is to me, it is actually such a perfect example of the quality of communication that you need to get to the next level by, you know, really working with horses, because horses are all about our ability to communicate. And I've often thought about, I may just do a small workshop, local, you know, get a few of the guys out here that really want to learn how to communicate in a powerful way and work with horses. And ideally, guys who've never worked with horses before, because it forces you to communicate in a whole next level way. And I'm thinking about doing that. So anyways, the whole point of that conversation is that, you know, the timing of it and the illustration of it is clarity equals velocity. And with when you're working with horses, it is all about clarity. It is all about clear communication, because
without words, because they don't speak English.
Without speaking English, you have to speak horse. And a lot of that is often energy. It's body language. It's knowing when to put pressure on and when, most importantly with a horse, when to take pressure off.
It's kind of like that with women.
Yeah, so true, right? Yeah, and how much pressure to put on, you know? What's the ask? How much pressure do we put on? So all to say this is that it's all plays very, very well into the think tank, clarity equals velocity. And, you know, there's a part of the theme for today's podcast is around nice, being nice versus kind, mostly directed at men, but it also to a different degree applies to women. And, you know, back to the kind of the metaphor or analogy for communication, for me is horses. And, you know, you want to earn respect and trust with a horse. And you, of course, want to do that with people. You want to do that with team. And there's a fundamental difference between being the leader and having trust and respect. Doesn't mean you're being nice. You're being kind. So what the heck is the difference between being nice and being kind? Let's break that down because it's really important. Nice versus kind. Now, do you want to open or do you
I just want to make it a distinction is that many people don't really understand that they are two completely different things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we conflate them and think that, okay, if I'm being nice, I'm also being kind. And that's true. You can be nice and be a dick, you know, mm-hmm. or you can be super kind and not nice. That's kind of me. That's how I've been defined is that I'm not a nice person, but I'm so kind and it really confuses people. So I think if we break it down and really create the fact that there's a distinction between the two words and the two energies behind the two words and why one is so dangerous.
Well, it's interesting about it. You've got a little story about it. We'll share that in a minute. But Teal Swan, somebody that we follow and kind of admire and really like her body of work, Jordan Peterson, the thought process of being told you're a nice guy is actually a flag. It's like not a compliment. So it is meant as one, but people don't really understand necessarily what they mean when they say you're a nice guy. So I've got a friend, and I'll say a friend, a good acquaintance, and I'll call him a friend. But one of the things that annoys me and that I don't like about him is I don't want to say I don't trust him, but he's a nice guy. But here's the problem with nice guys. It's always ultimately about them. And in behind it, they have a tendency to be manipulative. That's the negative quality of nice guys, is they do what they need to do to appease, to get what they want. But when push comes to shove, they're assholes. The guise is of being nice. So,
okay, so just put a pin in that for a second.
Yeah.
Because in not just that situation, but in other situations where I've seen guys that put on this whole nice guy jacket, not only do they become kind of pissed off when it's not being reciprocated or they don't get what they want. They go, I'm such a nice guy. I can't believe I don't get what I want. That's nice guys finish last. And I'm like, yeah. Because if that's the reaction when you don't get what you want, chances are it's an inauthentic way of being. You're not being nice. You're being nice to get something or to manipulate an outcome on some level. And then if you don't get what it is that you say you want, generally you become a dick, and then that's what people judge you on, is that moment. All the things that you were trying to be nice and being so nice and being so nice, then all of a sudden the truth comes out, and that's what people see.
Well, exactly. And here's the, you know, if you go back to, and I don't have a quote of Jordan Peterson, but I know that Jordan Peterson actually will make a statement along the lines that nice men are actually a little dangerous. Yeah. And that's because they have an underlying motivation and there's an agenda that they're not sharing. But one of the things that they don't want to do is they always want to appease in order for them to get their own way. So,
yeah, I think it's more along the lines of weak men. Weak men strong men are not dangerous. If you want to see dangerous,
hang out with weak men.
Weak men are dangerous.
So exactly. So let's break this down a little bit, and then you can share a little bit of your story and with one of a service provider from a few years ago and what we learned in all of that. Because here's the thing is that it's easy to get swayed by nice guys. And until I really unpack this, that friend of mine that is a nice guy that always annoys me because it's always about him. It always goes back to him. And when push comes to shove. Now, I've seen this tendency in a few people that I've hung out with, and I've always gone, they're really nice guys, but there's a quality about them that is inauthentic. It's insincere. And when push comes to shove, it is always about them. And that is what is a flag for me, but I couldn't identify it. And now I have a context for it, and I really feel clear about it, or at least to the degree for myself. So we're expressing it to kind of get clear on it a little bit of ourselves. So let me kind of unpack this in a, I guess we'll call it a definition of the difference between. So let's start with kind, okay? Or the difference between kind and nice. So the primary difference between men who are kind and those who are merely nice lies in their underlying motivation, which is what we've been talking about, and the depth of their interactions with others. Kindness is rooted in genuine empathy, compassion, and a sincere desire to improve the well-being of others. It actually involves understanding of others' feelings and their needs, and it manifests in selfless acts of generosity and support. So kind individuals prioritize authenticity and connection
and others. Yeah.
And they, well, connection with others, and they value the humanity in everyone they encounter. Now, that's the kind side of the equation. And when you think about it, you may this is where it's easily confused, because that can show up as he's a nice guy. Okay. But let's just unpack nice a little bit. Okay. On the other hand, niceness can sometimes be more superficial and driven by a desire to maintain social harmony. So in other words, no confrontation, and they want to gain approval. They actually want to be told, you're a really nice guy. And while nice men may exhibit polite and agreeable behaviors, their actions lack depth and authenticity, which is my experience now that I have a context and a definition for it. So niceness can sometimes involve people-pleasing tendencies or even manipulation. And I'm going to say often manipulation.
Often.
Yeah, where the primary goal is to be liked and accepted rather than truly caring for others' well-being. So it's like nice guys will go, oh, that's too bad. I'm glad that didn't happen to me. I'm glad I'm not in that situation. Glad you have to deal with it, not me. Whereas somebody who's kind will step in, actually say, how can I help? You know, is there something I can do for you? Whereas a nice guy will distance themselves from anything that might get them involved, cause confrontation, or drag them down some rabbit hole that they don't want to have to deal with because it's too heavy. So kindness comes from a place of really genuine care and understanding, and niceness is often motivated by social expectations or personal gain of some sort. So that's that. Now let's talk a little bit about you, because you are not a nice person.
I am not a nice person.
So share the story. We were working with a web developer and somebody who was doing a rebrand of one of our businesses. And through that, we spent a lot of hours, and we knew we were going to spend a lot of hours together. And they were pitching us on, you know, cost and what the overarching theme would be. And they were kind of talking about the brand, and they were doing a great job, by the way. We were.
Yeah, they did a great job.
And they did a great job. They actually did a great job. So then as we got into the saying, okay, we're going to engage you in all of this, there was a conversation that you had with them. And this is where it got a little interesting, because you looked at them and said, I just want you to know, go ahead, finish the story.
Well, this was really interesting because I liked them so much, and I saw the professionalism and the level of work that they were doing. But I also know that when it comes to business, I think females or women on some levels are really, the rumor is that we're nice, and we're nice to deal with, and we're complacent, and, you know, a bit of a pushover or whatever. And because at that point, I was the pointy end of the spear and the decision maker as the CEO of the company. And I actually said, and it was kind of a joke at one point, we were, I think, having drinks one night and a glass of wine or something. And I said, you know, just so you're clear, I'm just not a very nice person.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was like mic drop moment, right? And they all stop. They go, what? I go, I'm actually not a nice person. And this is before I knew any of this languaging or had been introduced to Teal Swan or any of the work that we're doing right now. And I said, I'm honest. I'm clear. I will dig into demand clarity, and I'm kind and I'm consistent, but you know what? I'm not very nice. And they laughed about it. And then they told stories about that, you know, when they introduced me at different events and stuff. They go, this is Stephanie. She's not a nice person. And I wore that as a badge of honor a long time because it's like, the truth is, I have to lead with being nice. There's a chance that I'm going to be taken advantage of, taken for granted, being used and abused or not honored in the way that of the gifts that I bring to any kind of situation or business deal. So I also knew that some of the people that I was associated with and one of my business partners at the time is much nicer than me, which was such a huge awareness over the last couple of years. She was known as the nice one and I was known as the business person. So if we needed people to be the entry point in certain situations, I would say, well, you know, you need to talk to her because she's much nicer than I am. And that was the truth. But the underlying energy of nice is that it's kind of, it can be two-faced because it's situational. For me, what I was really accused of and judged for quite negatively is that I was always the same in every situation. As we unpack the values conversation, is that I only ever came through my values. And if I felt like I was being ripped off or I felt like I was being taken advantage of, or on the other side, if I felt like I wasn't bringing huge value, I would say it and I would take responsibility for it. And that really threw people off. So I was the person that was consistently always, quote unquote, the bad guy. And she was the good guy. So she was nice and I was kind. And I was consistent. She was nice and she would smooth things over and she would interpret things for people so they understood what I was saying. Well, what Stephanie really means is it's not like she's being a bitch. She just means that she would like clarity around the budget. Yeah. So those were the kinds of things that I think over the last couple of years, we've really learned to understand that I don't like sometimes, but I would rather be known as consistent, clear, kind, and authentic.
Yeah. Well, you know, As you're talking about this, what really shows up for me in all of it is that when we talk about kind versus nice, it mostly is a conversation around men. But you've got a lot of masculinity about you. That's one of your things, right? You're part of your training over the years and just how you've shown up. But you show up that way as a bitch. Mm-hmm. Right? Like that's, you know, Stephanie's
in other people's definition. Yeah.
In other people's definition. Right. And because there's not a lot of wiggle room with you. No. And with men, you know, as we bust this down and listen, any of the guys who might be listening to this, any men who might be listening to this, I've seen over the years where I've had moments of being nice. I've evolved and matured to being kind, but I can't, as I'm sitting here even thinking about this, the number of nice guys that I know that really just, I like them, but I can't hang out with them. I like them, but I'm not willing to do business with them. I like them and I have done business with them and paid a price for it because there's always a level of manipulation. There's always a level of narcissism. There's always a level of it comes back to them. And some of it is just so blatant and it's like they don't see that quality in themselves and they actually, because they get away with it with so many, when you are a little bit more elevated in your awareness and your understanding of people, like I think we've come to finally in our life, it just is, it's like a neon light when now when I meet those people, I actually see it. But now that I have a definition for it, it'll be a blinking neon light because there is really some very, very powerful traits that come along with that. And I think that, you know, when you're, you know, in the world of being, let's say even self-assessing, because I think there's a part of it where being a nice guy is the intention is to be kind, not nice. The intention is not to be a certain way and be manipulative. But it's understanding that where you're coming from, you know, maybe you're not getting deals across the line. Maybe somebody that you're trying to do business with isn't quite, you know, they're kind of putting you off. They're delaying or they're kicking the can down the road or whatever the case may be. And you may have to consider, you know, how you're showing up and are you in fact being nice as opposed to being kind? And these are, I guess, some qualities that you need to examine within yourself and ask yourself the question, you know, am I being a nice guy and being manipulative? Am I being a nice guy to get what I want? Am I actually do I have some narcissistic tendencies that, you know, well, narcissists don't see that they're narcissists, but you can have tendencies and know that you're a narcissist. So I think it's something to that we need to ask ourselves. And maybe it's time for that, you know, that honest conversation with somebody and ask them, do I show up as nice or do I show up as kind?
Well, you know, the term nice guys finish last, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's what this means. It's not that they're nice and they don't get what they want. It's like women don't like nice guys. And in my world, you know, I wouldn't want my girlfriends to be with a nice guy because I know what that shows up on the other side of the coin is narcissistic, is selfish, is like almost little boy kind of thing. And what happens on the other side is then the partner shows up as more controlling or more has to do more stuff. And next thing you know, you're a B-I-T-C-H, right? Or you're controlling and he gets to be the victim. So when I hear nice guys finish last, or I see guys like our friend that is such a nice guy, but he never seems to, you know, people seem to be rejecting him all the time or being mean. It's because there's an underlying sense of not being able to fully trust the niceness because something's going to swing back on the pendulum and bite me in the ass with a nice guy. And it's not that I don't like nice guys. I do, but I would rather, in our case, I would rather have you be able to stand up for me, you know, really be in your sacred masculine, have boundaries, be clear, be honest, be kind, be consistent, rather than be nice, because nice to me also can mean you're valuable and you're only, you know, you're in a conversation with two people, but you can only tell the truth if they're in separate rooms, for example, because you're in the middle of a conversation, maybe that there's a disagreement or a discrepancy and the nice guy's trying to please everybody. So you go in and next thing you know, you're in one room and you're talking, you know, trash about the person that's not in the room. And there's just a place where you can't trust that. I would rather be around somebody who says less and is more clear and would rather say something that could be conceived as hurtful. Like I look at, you know, when I, because of my demand for clarity in myself and with the people around me, I think that's a mirror for you. And as we work through our stuff and like we always say in our workshops is that we're doing the work with you. Like we're not experts in any of this. We're doing the work, but what we're demanding from each other and from ourselves is that level of clarity and commitment. And what underlies that is that kindness and that willingness to just step aside and know what you say and how you say things can hurt people. And when you have that level of compassion, self-compassion and compassion for other, then to me, that is where I would rather have, whether it's a deal or a decision or a business, whatever happened from that place and be able to come to loggerheads. You know, there's another, you know, because I'm a woman and I grew up and made my first steps in ice hockey, it was very male dominated. And I had to learn to be clear because they didn't like the wishy-washy. You know, they didn't like, you know, the whole, you know, kiss your ass kind of a thing. That doesn't work in certain scenarios. When it did work in certain scenarios and it was a guy, you should see how they trash talked that guy behind his back. It was brutal. So I really learned to bring that feminine masculine thing together. And when I learned what bitch actually means, it was being in total control of herself. Being in total control of herself.
When did you come up with that one? Who came up with that? That's good.
Some smart person.
Ah, some very smart person. I like that because that really describes you. So now, so now when I call you a bitch, it's like
it's a total compliment.
It's such a compliment. It's from a place of love. Holy cow, that's really good. So when we think about a couple things, you know, how many times have we seen women who marry nice guys and, you know, no wonder divorce rates are so high. I think this is really powerful stuff. It's an interesting kind of dynamic to see and to understand. You know, Teal Swan and both Teal Swan and Jordan Peterson, and I'm sure there's others, but those are two that come to mind right now that we've kind of also heard from them, which is, you got to avoid nice guys. You got to avoid nice guys. That really is the message here. And nice guys, you got to clean up your game. You got to kind of look in the mirror and say, am I being a nice guy or am I being kind? So let's give some examples of kind, you know. And one of the things that kind, and I do my own self-assessment, and I don't know how far back I would go in this, but I think I'm generally a really kind man.
You are.
Because I often, and not just with you, I know that for me, acts of service are my way of showing.
That's your love language.
That's my love language. And it's the way I show, show that I care and love you, but it's also the way I show how much I care for others, you know, because of acts of service. Now that's my go-to, but that comes sincerely from my heart. And it's what I want to do. We took on these horses for a friend, but that, and as much as that is great for me and I love it, ultimately it was because I knew they really needed help. They were in over their head and not intentionally. It was totally unintentional. They had the right idea, but just they got in over their head. They didn't know what they didn't know. And I was able to support them. And I feel really happy that I could do that, because that to me is a really great act of service. Now, it happened to be a win-win, and that's all great, but that was never my agenda. You know, whether I got horses or didn't get horses didn't matter to me. This was really first and foremost, get our friends looked after and get these horses looked after. And that was my primary objective in all of it. And then from that, there was some benefit that came with it, which is, oh, I get to work with some horses again and I don't have to own them. So that's cool. You know, that was all with my jag around horses. So acts of kindness and sincere wanting to help others and lots of empathy. You know, when I know when, you know, especially, you know, chosen family or friends, well, pretty much anybody that is in our circle of influence, even within our RAIN community, for example, or our think tank community, when they're going through tough times, even as a coach, my heart is on my sleeve, really wanting to support them. And I'm rooting for them all the way. So I think those are strong characteristics of being kind. So that's just my own self-assessment. So I don't know.
I think that's a good one. I have a girlfriend who we were chatting about, you know, her husband doesn't do this and her husband doesn't do that. And he does this and does that. And she finally said to me, well, how do you know if Patrick loves you? How do you know? And I'm like, I looked outside and you were on the riding mower and I took the phone and I pointed at him because he's mowing the lawn. That's how I know. And she burst out laughing. And because it's true, is that if you're carrying heavy things in for me, and sometimes I want to because I want it to be a workout, but there's things that because your love language is acts of service, it gave me a lot of room to be able to tell my girlfriends. It's like, you know what? Maybe he's not the most emotive or he doesn't have the biggest vocabulary in the I love you land. I mean, you do, don't get me wrong, but not like some women are wanting these roses and flowers and Valentine's Day and birthdays and all this. And I'm like, I'm not that person. I don't want that. But what I do want is to be able to identify when you are showing me love and showing me kindness and doing it on your terms so that I can understand and respect and receive. And that's the thing, the difference between, you know, when you start to understand the distinction between nice and kind. If you were like super nice to me all the time and yet weren't doing your natural love language or act of service, it wouldn't feel authentic. And that's part of your sacred masculine. I think what is, and that's what my masculine resonates and my feminine too, is that we find a way to hear each other and see each other and then maybe back off. And when we do have a blow up or a fight, or it's usually because there's a misunderstanding somewhere or we're not aligned on something. But when you are in that place of service, whether it was now with the horses or me trying to explain to my girlfriends, you know, he didn't get me a Valentine's Day card, but threw me a 60th birthday. That was unbelievable, right?
Well, I think there's another part of it, you know, which is, you know, something you said, which is that nice guys will, in fact, buy the cards, they'll buy the roses, and then they're out having an affair. You know, they're like, that's the thing about it. It's often manipulative.
Yeah.
So we just have to be careful and be aware of what is the underlying agenda we have. Yeah. If we're trying to be a nice guy, which means we're trying to get people to like us.
Or to do something,
right? And we don't want confrontation. We don't want to get into any kind of, we don't want to have that, oh gosh, as I'm thinking about the people I know that are nice guys, and I'm going, no wonder I can't hang out with them anymore, you know? And it's not that I don't like them. It's not that I don't like them. I just can't. They're nice guys. That's where it stops. you know,
there's nothing deeper. There's nothing more authentic or real or even something to, you know, to hang on to, the Velcro, the discussion, the, you know, the opposition is so much fun. I mean, we had all of our, we had Francie Friday last week and we had, you know, eight couples or I don't know how many people were here, but it was amazing. And what I love about all the men in that group is that they are all kind.
Yeah.
And there's a lot
There's no nice guys.
There's no nice guys in that group. They're all super, but they are because they're kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love being around them and they have their own opinion and they have their own stand on things. And but yet, you know, some people might say they're nice. I just say, you know, I'd rather be around a group of guys like that, that have their own opinion and stand up and then love their women. And they're, you know, it's just so fun.
It is so fun because you're right. They are very, very powerful in that regard. Okay. So as we wind this down, because I think we covered a lot of ground and, you know, if you're listening still, I just encourage you to, you know, for you men, this is self-assessment. You know, this is part of why we are doing the Think Tank weekend, clarity equals velocity. And a lot of it is about clarity in your own self, you know, in understanding who you are and making decisions from a place of your, I guess, understanding who you are and then realizing that these are choices that we make. I think that the difference between nice and kind is a choice. And you can choose to be a nice guy or you can choose to be kind. The gap that people or the fear that people will bump up against is that when you switch from being a nice guy to understanding what being a kind man is and also understand that you don't want to hang out so much with nice guys, then your friends, your circle of influence gets really, really thin.
Yeah.
And there's not as many people, but the people that are in it are awesome. Yeah. And that's a far, far better place to live into. So anything you want to add before we wind this down?
Yeah. The world needs less nice guys. The world needs the sacred masculine to step back up, take the lead. And because when a man is in his masculinity, powerful women feel grounded and safe, and we can be in our own power. If we are having to be the powerful ones, and maybe this is where, you know, some women have ripped themselves and other people off, is thinking that they have to be, you know, they want men that are like them or something. I don't know. I've always liked the opposition. I love the opposition. I love the differences between the masculine energy and the feminine energy. I don't care if you're straight, gay, whatever. There's the masculine and feminine energy that creates a spark that is creates even the creativity through bringing life into the world, bringing fire, bringing, you know, entrepreneurship. I think that comes from a balance of the masculine and feminine energy, and to honor that with ourselves and to really create. For me, my commitment, because I work with so many men, whether it was in ice hockey for 25 years, strictly like 95% with men, my commitment was to create a space for them to step into their masculinity, stepping into them, to their power, and to make mistakes and burp and fart and swear and whatever, like that's on the shallow level, but just to have that ability for guys to be guys. And I never wanted to be one of the guys. I wanted to be respected, sure, but I wanted to earn it. So you know what? Nice guys do finish last. It's not like you don't have to be kind to be nice, but you can't be nice and kind. It's a decision.
It is a decision. And if you want to get better at making decisions, then definitely register for Think Tank, June 7, 8, 9, right here in the Fraser Valley of British Columbia. Stephanie and I will be facilitating that. Would love for you to register. The link will be in the description below. Stephanie, thank you. And hold it, one more, because I just loved it. Do you still remember the acronym for bitch? One more time.
Yeah. Being in total control of herself.
Oh, of herself. Okay. Thanks for that. Thanks, everybody.
That was fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. If you found value in the podcast, please take the time to rate and review and share with others. Share with your friends. as it is my goal to always improve and to provide the highest value for you, the listener. If you have any comments, suggestions, or questions you'd like answered, please email me at ceo@reincanada.com. That's ceo@reincanada.com. I look forward to hearing from you. And until next time, Patrick out.